America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey there, Dan here. Before we begin, most people know and understand at a deep level the power of mentors and how important it is to have mentors in our lives. But very few of us have people that we can point to and say, this person is mentoring me, that person is mentoring me. I'm trying to solve this problem. I have a post that I wrote some time ago on the Meaning Movement that redefines how we think about mentors and offers a better, more helpful framework. That post is also accompanied with a worksheet so you can take these concepts and put them to play in your life. You can find that at themeaningmovement.com/mentor. Themeaningmovement.com/mentor is totally free. Just want to point you to some of the great content we have over on the website that if you're not on the email list, you're missing out on. Now on to the show. Chris Reynolds is a lifestyle entrepreneur and podcaster who has interviewed over 400 of the world's top entrepreneurs and high-level performers. He currently runs a private community of high-net-worth entrepreneurs called M3. While traveling the world, he built a business that helps entrepreneurs optimize their lives and performance through neuroscience, brain scanning, and other proven productivity methods. Everything Chris does revolves around one theme, which I just love: his mission to help entrepreneurs grow their businesses and personal lives. He's an international speaker, runs live events with entrepreneurs all over the world. He loves to talk about neuroscience, performance optimization, all this good stuff that I just get all jazzed up about. I had so much fun connecting with Chris. It was just one of those conversations where I feel like I just barely scratched the surface of all that we could explore together. I hope that you'll enjoy it as much as I did. This, of course, is the Meaning Movement podcast, a show about work worth doing. So if you're ready to level up your life, your income, your career, to get more meaning, more purpose out of the work that you do and the time that you have, you're in the right place. Today, with entrepreneur Chris Reynolds. Stay with us. Can you imagine waking up on Monday mornings excited about your day? Can you imagine loving being asked the question, "So, what do you do?" I created the Calling Course with a single goal in mind: to create a resource for finding what's next. The Calling Course is based on the process I developed through working with people around the big career transitions that we all go through. I went so far as to get a master's degree in psychology and culture to bring this concept to life, and I'd like to invite you to consider joining us. If you've ever felt stuck, if you've ever felt uncertain of what's next, if you've ever felt like you want more from your work, but you're not sure how to get it, I made this for you. Join us. Get started for free today with a mini course called 5 Clues to Your Calling at thecallingcourse.com. I'll see you there. Chris, welcome to the Meaning Movement podcast. I'm just so excited to have you here with me. Welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be here, Dan. Let's make a great podcast.
Yeah, let's do it. The question I like to start with is, how do you begin to talk about the work that you do?
I know you're going to ask me that. So I kind of thought about it. And you know how we're supposed to have like a scripted answer for that, yeah. Especially if we're entrepreneurs. They say, you know, be direct and be clear and have a couple sentences or maybe just, you know, a few words you can describe it. For me, because like the worlds, and you know this being in the tech world that we dabble in, there's still a lot of people that don't really understand what we do. And it kind of depends on who I'm talking to. So, you know, some people, my answer might be a podcaster. And that's it. I leave it at that. And they're like, oh, cool, you know? And then some people that's, you know, maybe they're outside of the tech world. And then some people like yourself, probably most of the people listening, then you dive a bit deeper into it. So, yeah. And I'll do that now. The first thing I always say is I'm a podcaster and I run a podcast for the past 7 years that talks about the blending of entrepreneurship and high performance. And we did a series, we do a 100 episode series. So we did 100 six-figure entrepreneurs and 100 seven-figure entrepreneurs, then 100 major entrepreneurial influencers. And now we're on to the next series. And then we also do high performance clips within that podcast that are 2 to 10 minutes long, getting all the good high performance nuggets out of an episode. So you can listen like on the go. Then the next thing is I am co-founder of an entrepreneurial community for people that have more or less bootstrapped online businesses that have hit 500K plus. And in that we do events for entrepreneurs. And so the events are open to members and non-members. And so like, for example, we have an event coming up and they're usually the kind of like high intensity business or business luxury types of events. So last fall we did an event on Cabo as like a luxury trip on the beach. And then next month in February, what we're doing is an event called the Grand Theft Auto Experience, where we go to Las Vegas and we drive Lamborghinis and Ferraris. We drive rally race trucks. We fly in a helicopter and shoot a machine gun out of a helicopter. And then we fly in stunt airplanes and we play laser tag, which is a real thing. In Las Vegas, you can play laser tag in stunt airplanes with a stunt pilot driving it and you shooting your friends out of the sky. Yeah. So. So that's as short as I can give an answer.
Yeah, I love that. That is so fantastic. And I know Adam Anderson's involved with the community as well, right?
Yeah, he's the co-founder with me.
Yeah, co-founder. Yeah, he's been on the show as well. So we'll make sure to link up to that episode here in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
So you've got a few irons in the fire, which I know you're speaking my language as far as your approach to life, which is it's great. Just to... Yeah, maybe kind of enter into this is just, you know, Dan's self-help hour here. How do you think about where you put your time when you have so many things going on?
Yeah. So all those things, the reason why I have those things, I focus on them, they're all in alignment with basically one thing, right? And so, and they're all connected. They're all basically connected to one another. So it sounds like it's a lot, but it's under the umbrella of one business, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I know you talk about purpose a lot and meaning in life. And so maybe to jump ahead a little bit, everything I do, it revolves around the purpose of helping entrepreneurs grow, helping them grow in their businesses significantly, and helping them grow in their personal life. So if you look at the podcast, that's why we talk about entrepreneurship and high performance. If you look at the entrepreneur community, that's why we have the events and scheduled masterminds, and we do some other things within the group. And so that all in the events also are about bringing entrepreneurs together to have these really incredible life experiences where they bond and then they can grow their businesses together. So it's, you know, I do juggle a lot and it does sound like a lot, but it's all laid out in like a funnel or a form that is all one thing, if that makes sense.
I love it. I love it. That's helpful. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's just rewind a minute here. How did you get into this? I can't imagine that you woke up as a, you know, 5-year-old, a youngster, young version of yourself saying, you know, I'm going to be a podcaster because podcasting wasn't the thing there. But what's been your trajectory? How did you get into what you do now?
Yeah. So I started kind of traveling the world and building a business online way back in, I believe, 2009. And well, I started building a business online in 2009. Then by 2011, I was traveling the world and continuing to grow that business. One of the things that I found while traveling the world and growing a business is that I had all the freedom that I wanted in life, but I didn't have like the community. I didn't have my people. You know, I would travel and meet other travelers or backpackers or local people, but they weren't these like-minded entrepreneurs that a lot of us really thrive of. You know, this is why we come to your podcast. It's because we can get like-minded ideas and learn from you and your guests, right? And so I was in Barcelona, and this is fast forward to 2014. And I was like, I want to do an event where we spend 3 months in Barcelona. and we all come together and we build business together. We get a bunch of entrepreneurs, build business and enjoy the city together. And so again, back to that purpose. And at the time it was unconscious of what was happening, that I really wanted to bring entrepreneurs together, build business together and grow as humans. And so we did that and it turned out to be a success. And then I started a business called the Entrepreneur House on the backside of that, where we would go to different cities around the world and we would have those month-long experiences. I got to the point where like that was taking too much of my time, and I realized to scale that, I would have to be in these physical locations more than I wanted. And going back to the mindset of like, how do we really leverage and manage our time? I decided, okay, I'm going to take my physical self out of this and take all the value out of the Entrepreneur House and put it into online stuff. And yeah. So it turned into coaching and courses. And then we would do one annual event, and we turned that event into the name. We turned it in from the Entrepreneur House to a 10-day event, which happened in Thailand once a year, called Get Shit Done Live. And so we would go to Thailand. We would go to Thailand and we ran it for a few years, and then COVID hit, and we would go and we'd spend 10 days and we'd stay at this resort type of complex, and everybody would set goals within those 10 days to really move the needle in their business. And so it was working out really, really well. Then COVID happened, so we couldn't travel anymore. And that took, you know, a lot of changes for a lot of our businesses. And then we moved it basically all that stuff basically to online with a private community of entrepreneurs. And now that, you know, it's 2 years post COVID, we can start doing events again. And we did early last year.
Love it. So great. So great. Yeah. It sounds like your process is kind of like a continual evolution of, like I can just see these themes like kind of moving throughout, and it's like, okay, this is working, but we want it to work better or differently. Yes. And so then it kind of becomes a new thing, which is really,
same purpose, slight shift.
And I feel like whether our listeners are entrepreneurs or not, I feel like it's a common theme that I see in people's stories, where you can't ever map out your trajectory perfectly, right? You can't plan your whole life, but what you can do is know where you, kind of the direction you want to go. And for you, that direction is helping entrepreneurs grow their businesses and personal lives.
Yeah.
But the way that manifests isn't something that you can necessarily even predict, you know, what it'll look like, you know, 10 years from now or whatever might be. Which is really, I think, cool to see in your story.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the first business that you were growing as you were traveling. Has that been sunset as you started focusing on helping entrepreneurs?
Yeah, we started doing niche websites online, you know, with Google AdSense. And that was the very first online thing. And Google wrote a few algorithms and wiped that business out. You know, back in the day, it's much easier than it is now.
Yes, I love it. Yeah. Did you feel like your work now? I mean, I can see this from the outside, and I can see how this could be true. But I'm curious if it feels this way for you, that you know, this focus on helping entrepreneurs. Do you feel like that's come out of your own desire or the kind of the need that you had to have more community, more support along the way?
100%. I'm naturally an extrovert. And so, and specifically like an extrovert for entrepreneurial personal growth type of people. Mm-hmm. And so when I get around those people, like my world lights up. And if I'm not around those people, I actually kind of feel depressed and lonely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's the concept of tribes, where, you know, when you find your tribe, you feel like you're at home. And so that's just unconsciously why I was traveling the world. I mean, I was living in Costa Rica. I had a beach. I had a girlfriend at the time. You know, we had these remote businesses. We could do whatever we wanted. And then, you know, and I was lonely. I was like, what's happening? Why am I lonely? Like, I have the ideal 4-hour work week, perfect life, you know, almost. And then it wasn't till like a forced, you know, unconscious traveling the world while being kind of lonely, like, I've got to bring some more people into my life. And it really helps, like, so many online entrepreneurs out there, like, they have that feeling. They're running their businesses. Maybe it's from their home, or they're traveling, or from a city, wherever they're at, or small town. And, you know, and they're just like, when they get around their own people, it really lights them up. And I've always been really good at bringing those people together and creating experiences that really light them up.
I love that. I love that. And it resonates so much with me, yeah, just my own experience. Like, I love my friends. I love my community. They're fantastic, but there also is like a different kind of connection when mm-hmm. you're around people that are, you know, I guess get the struggle, the wins, the losses, like the whole roller coaster of entrepreneur. Not that everyone's life isn't a roller coaster or is exciting in its own way, but it is just a unique journey that not everyone can resonate with. And so,
of course,
definitely,
yeah. Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense for me. So looking, you know, from the outside at someone, you know, like yourself, and I say someone like yourself, like someone who has an online business, has a podcast, is doing all these different things. I'm always curious how, like, I don't know how to ask this question in a tasteful way. So if it comes out sour,
you know, okay, that's
all right. we can reframe it. I would love a breakdown of where, like, all the income streams underneath your brand. Not that you need to give me the dollars and amounts, but where does all the income flow?
Yeah. So we have the podcast and we have, you know, advertisers on the podcast. Yeah. We have courses that are still out there for high performance optimization, and then the community, and then the events. So there are four basic streams there.
Yeah.
And so for the events, what we do is for the members, they get to come at cost. And for the non-members, they come and we put a little bit of money on the backside of that to make some money.
Yeah.
And then for our, we have a monthly and a yearly fee for our community members. And then over the years, I've put some courses out there that bring some money in as well.
I love it. Thank you for, thank you for,
of course,
for answering that.
Yeah.
It's an awkward question to ask, but I feel like it's an important, especially for people who are on the other side, people who are, maybe they're, you know, working 9 to 5 or whatever it might be, or maybe they're starting their own thing and they're like, how do people do this? How do people make a podcast, make money? And so to have like, here's some categories you can think through, I think it's really, really helpful.
Yeah, I think so too. And one of the things I really think it's important, because one of the things we do in our community is we do yearly financial teardowns. And so the people in your group, and then with Adam and myself, that, you know, you've formed trust around these people and everything's confidential. You do a financial teardown of your business and you really get to, because we don't talk about that stuff that often. We try to just like keep it inside, right? So you really get to open up and it feels good to open up, but also people learn from you and then they can give suggestions like, oh, you're spending that much on, you know, ads, that much on marketing. Like that's too much or that's not enough. Like you really need to increase that percentage. And you learn a lot from that. And it's kind of like some like entrepreneur, it's like entrepreneurial therapy in many ways. Yeah. Like we go in and do a financial teardown and everybody feels better afterwards. And they realize like we're all in the same boat together, just with different businesses, you know. So.
Yeah, it's really scary on the front end. You're afraid it's going to hurt real bad.
Uh-huh,
but then it turns out to not be as scary as it might seem. Well, I feel like when you start looking at the dollars and cents, I think it really reveals. It can reveal a lot. It can reveal someone's values. It can even reveal fears or anxieties and place things that they're, you know, otherwise without someone else's eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be as prone to address, you know, the kind of the underlying motivation or whatever might be driving those expenditures or whatever it might be, which just makes a lot. And I'm sure there's, you know, a ton of optimizations even that come along the way. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How big is your team?
Me and basically one person, two people. So I have an agency that handles the back end of the podcast stuff. So
nice.
So that's awesome. It. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I want to get kind of tap into some of your knowledge around high performance, and I guess maybe a kind of a place to start is how do you define high performance?
That's a great question. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that before. So offhand, I would have to say it's living an above average life or doing above average activities to get above average results.
That's great. You say that again.
It just came from nowhere.
It was so good though. Yeah. If not, we'll just have to rewind and go back, because I felt like that was so well said.
Yeah. Because I also think you can't stereotype high performance, because what's high performance for, you know, the average individual or somebody that grows up in another country, you know, in extreme poverty could be completely different from somebody else, you know, in their experience in life.
Totally.
And so it's really about getting the information you need to get so you can just take your life to the next level on a regular basis. And that's high performance. You don't have to be a professional athlete. You don't have to be a multi-billionaire. You know, you don't have to be Elon Musk. You can be, you know, the regular 9-to-5er. You can live in Brazil or Somalia and just trying to just do it the best with your life on a regular basis.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm curious from your experience working with people around performance, what are some of the common pitfalls or maybe what's the low-hanging fruit of leveling up your performance?
Kind of what we've been talking about, Dan, is quite often it's people trying to do too many things with their time, right? And not understanding how to manage your time. So we had one of my favorite books is Essentialism, and it's by Greg McKeown. And he was on the podcast a year and a half ago or so. And even him, like the guy that writes a book on essentialism, talks about like how challenging it is for him to cut the fat on a regular basis. Yeah. And so it's continually saying no to things. And even the most successful people will have to say no much more, way more often than saying yes. It's like 99-to-1, right? Mm-hmm. And also, if you're really focused on one or two major things, then as soon as an opportunity comes across your plate, it can almost be an immediate no. And that's the hardest thing for so many people, because especially in the digital world today, like you're distracted and there's so many new opportunities. Like you Google make money online and all these things come up. You Google, you know, remote jobs, you Google travel the world, and it's overwhelming. And so for really most people that really want to live a high performance life, one of the best things that you can do is just weed through the, get really good habits and weeding through things on a regular basis. You have to weed through things almost daily. Somebody invites you to this dinner or social event. You're like, no, I can't do it. This time is reserved for my relationship. You know, so just making decisions like that, and the faster that you can make those decisions, I think the better off you're going to be and the better results you're going to get for whatever those things you that are your priorities.
I love that. I mean, this is like, you know, guilty as charged. I'm like, man, I need more of this in my life. You know, one of the things that I struggle with related to this is that I have a lot of things that I'm pretty good at. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of things, you know, so I have very much a portfolio approach to life and to business. And some of it's by necessity. It's like, you know, hedging bets, one part like, you know, I'm doing these things while I'm trying to get this other thing off the ground. But then there's this tipping point that I think is going to happen where it's like, I've got to kill these projects because the potential just isn't, you know, doesn't match the potential of these other projects. Yeah. But like until you're at that tipping point, it feels like, this is kind of describing where I am right now, like this kind of painful, like, middle ground where it's like, okay, I think this needs to go, but also I'm making decent money doing it. And yet, like, I know that there's so much more potential on the other side, focusing on this other thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the question is here, other than maybe like, is there a matrix or like a, how do you think about what to say no to? I guess wanting to kind of focus in more on like those decisions where it's like, the gray area, I guess, is what I want to hear you talk more about.
Yeah, it's a really good question because it's so easy to adopt. And I also think like the challenges quite often are different for the different sexes, males and females. Women can quite often run a couple businesses and multitask really, really well and do a phenomenal job at that, as opposed to men that it actually kind of quite often will bring more stress into our lives and anxiety because we're not laser focus. And so it kind of depends on the situation and it depends on, you know, what is happening. But one of the most important things is like, I always, you know, so a friend of mine, this is his philosophy /quote/theory. And it's not exact, but most people don't consider thinking work. And quite often thinking is our most important work. And especially allotting time for us to have relaxed, clear thinking time. So maybe that's taking a walk for half an hour a day, doing a meditation, going to a boot camp, or going on vacation where you're, you know, clear of all devices and distractions. And when we get into that state of mind, it lowers our brainwaves, and we can then think much more clearer on what are the real priorities, right? An easy way to do that also is to play the hell yeah game. So if anything is not completely a hell yeah, like exciting you and direct, you know, it's a win-win-win for your purpose in life and everything that you have going on, then it's a no. If it's not a 10, if it's a 9 or below, it's a no. And quite often, more 10s will show up in your life if you're focused on just committing to those 10s. Right. And sometimes we do need to go through like meditation or, you know, some regular thinking time per day to figure out what those 10s are. Cause you may have a 9.5 and a 10 on your plate and you're really torn, and that's easy to do. But then at the end, like even if you write those down on a piece of paper, one will start to stand out just a little bit more. Or if you're like thinking in your mind, one will just kind of start just like if stick out more often. And another good question is that I ask myself a lot is, if you knew what to do, what would you do? And most people jumble with that question, but there's always a quick answer that pops up. But if you're not over analytical and trying to analyze, you know, each scenario, there's always an answer that pops up that's a little bit more profound. And if you say, if you knew what to do, what would you do? And you say this, then it can easily come to you and like, okay, I'm just going to have confidence and go with that. Does that make sense?
I love that. Oh yeah. It makes so much sense. I just love that hypothetical. If you knew what to do, what would you do?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that step to the hypothetical. And I feel like that's a few different areas of life where it just helps just free up, free up your mind to think in different ways, which is really, really great. Maybe just to take, you know, give listeners even as a really practical step around this. It sounds like a really great exercise would be, and you can direct me if I'm directing them wrong, but just to do an audit of like what are your obligations? What are your time obligations? What are the things that you have choice over? Let's maybe put it that way. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, give that rating of, you know, from a 10 being like, this is this maximum, you know, hell yeah. 0 being like, why am I doing this? And just rate those things and then just see what kind of bubbles to the surface, just kind of brainstorm it out. Would that be a good way to access this and kind of put this into practice?
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. And if you're really torn, like a good old fashioned pro con list really helps as well. Yeah. Like you're writing the pros down and cons and seeing that on paper. I recommend too, people like review that weekly, for sure monthly, but weekly, you know, and I have like a regular weekly planning process where I'm like, okay, what are my priorities? I've got my 3 priorities for the year. What are the tasks I need to do to hit the targets for the priorities this week? And then write those down and put them into my planner.
When do you do that? The end of the week or the beginning of the week?
I do it every Monday morning, 8 to about 10 o'clock every Monday morning.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. Related to this, you know, this concept of high performance, I'm curious just to hear some of your thoughts, having interviewed so many, you know, so many people that are performing at a high level, at least in one area of their life, in their business. And what are some of the commonalities that have surfaced between all these, you know, all these people? Like what is it that makes someone, and maybe we're already talking about it. Maybe it's that they have their thing. That's their thing. But I'm curious if there's other things that, you know, themes that have emerged.
I think the main thing is like everybody really wants to, and their version of an above average life and achieve their dreams, you know, and live a good life, you know, have fulfillment, you know, have enjoyment, have great people in their life. And that's the root of really all of it. You know, it doesn't matter the business that you're building or, you know, what route you take in life or where you come from, that sort of thing. But everybody wants to find their own happiness, right? And anybody that goes after whatever they define success, like even if it's a 9-to-5er or, you know, somebody that comes from the most remote place in the world, they're just looking for that vision that they have of their life to be fulfilled in some way.
I love that. That's really, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think I'm always interested in hearing how people like yourself think about words like calling, words like meaning, purpose, legacy, whichever one of those words, you know, you use. How do you think about that in your own work?
I think about them like quite often all the time, you know. when I get really clear, you know, all of those overlap into, you know, let's just say priorities have meaning, purpose, priorities come from purpose. And quite often it takes an individual some time to really figure out what their purpose is. Like I had no idea when I was first started traveling the world that my purpose would be like bringing people together, bringing specifically like entrepreneurs together, you know, and then just going through the process of understanding that purpose. And then how are you going to make that purpose, or how are you going to, what's the work that you're going to do to make, to fulfill that purpose, right? Yeah. One thing I think we probably don't pay enough attention to, and there, somebody needs to make a course or write a book about this, is like just specifically legacy, which is a fantastic word. And, you know, as I get older, I start to think more and more of what our legacy, what my legacy is going to be. Yeah. And I've done an exercise where not only did I do like a 10-year and then 50-year vision plan, but also a 100-year and then a 500-year vision plan. So what is the world like 500 years from now because you were in it, you know? And that is a tough question to ask, but also when you start to write it down, it brings a lot of clarity, and you can then reverse engineer to what you want to do, what the impact you want to make for 100 years and then 50 years and 25 and 10 and 1 and what you're working on today. And yeah, it's incredible. But I really think somebody, I don't know if there's a book out there around legacy, but I think it's probably time somebody writes one that just diverges more into the concept of legacy specifically, and how, what is the legacy that each individual is leaving with their lives?
Yeah. I love that. I think that so much changes when you think in longer terms, you know, from simple things like how you know, what you buy, what you're spending your resources on, to, you know, what you're creating, what you're working towards, all of these things.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you have any specifics that you'd be open to sharing of, like, how has that, you know, influenced your, you know, the more tactical day-to-day choices that you're making?
Yeah, I think it really, Dan, like if you, anybody that takes 4 hours, take 4 hours and go to a park or a meeting room or go somewhere that's, you know, kind of nice and relaxing, and you write down like what you want the world to be like 500 years from now, or 100 years from now, and even 50 years from now. And when you kind of write that on paper and you get an idea from that, it makes the daily decision making easier, because if you know that is what your legacy and purpose is going to be, it's then your decisions, like it weeds out all the BS, you know?
Yeah.
It's like something comes across your plate and it's much easier to say, no, it doesn't fit into this, gone, right? And again, getting back to like cutting the fat. And again, it's a practice. It's a practice and a habit that we need to get into.
Yeah.
But anybody will get, I think, if they just spend 4 hours, they go, you know, go off and write that stuff down in a journal or a piece of paper and get an idea of that, it will really help the reverse engineering for your business plan and your life plan. And because too often what our primal brains want us to do is just like, what's for the next 3 years? What's for the next 3 months? What's for the next month? What's for today? How do I feel today? Do I need this today? Do I need that today? But you engage. So the prefrontal cortex of our brains is strengthened by long-term planning. And that's also the manager and like the CEO of our other areas of our brains. So if an emotion comes up and you're triggered, if you have a strong, healthy prefrontal cortex, it'll stop and say, no, Chris, don't do that, because it'll lead to this and that'll be a bad result. And so a lot of impulsive decisions come from people that have weakened or prefrontal cortexes that haven't grown or been strengthened over the years. One of the best things to do that is long-term plan. When you long-term plan, you're exercising that, and then it helps with the decision-making on the backside of it. So it's a whole reverse engineering process that deals with the neuroscience of our brain that makes it easier at the end of the day, so you don't feel as overwhelmed and you feel more happy and fulfilled.
I love that. And thank you for the brain science behind it, because that makes just a ton of sense. And even it circles me back to that question I asked earlier about, you know, what to say no to and these things that, like, you know, when to say no. If I'm honest with myself and if I'm able to think in the longer term, this one project in particular, it's like it pays the bills and everything, but like longer term, like I know it's going to go, and I know that that's not where I'm going to be spending my time. But what makes it hard is when I think in the opposite, when I think about like right now, or that, you know, making sure the bills are paid this month, or whatever else, you know, I think those emotional kind of the emotional part of your brain when it's guiding the process. And so I think that that's really helpful, even just for me personally, to challenge myself to make the choices based on the longer time frame. So
thank you
for that. But I also say that, like, ouch, that kind of stings a little bit. So I've got some good hard work ahead of me.
Good, man. Good. Yeah.
I know your brain science is a kind of a subspecialty of yours. And I know on your site, you have a portion about brain scans. And I'm really curious how, just to learn to know more about that. I know that there are different, you know, brain wavelengths. I know that, like, I have a Muse headband that like measures, like, you know, helps you know when you're in a calm state. I feel like it's mostly a pretty blunt tool, but still kind of gets in the ballpark, I hope.
Yeah.
But I think with the stuff that you're doing is, you know, next level beyond that. Yeah. I'm curious what is like, how much do you is actionable, I think, is really what it comes down to. Like, how can people know, take the science of what's going on in their brain, take a brain scan, and then use that, let that dictate their actions, or use that data in their day-to-day life?
It's huge. Like, the tech that we have now to understand what's happening inside a person's brain is, I almost feel like we're in a science fiction movie. So literally, like, and it like, we can put a brain scanner on a person's brain and we can see if they have been concussed. Literally, you could have had a concussion when you were 2 years old, knocked your head when you're a little baby walking around, and it can still affect your life to this day. But in the past, we didn't have the ability to scan those brains. That's why a lot of this tech is devoted to kids that are playing sports, that are playing football or soccer and have knocked their heads around. Most of us guys that were little adventurous boys, we probably fell off our bike or, you know, got hit in the head with a baseball or something. And there's a actual valid possibility that it can affect your life. It may be in, you know, your relationships, and maybe in the way you manage your emotions, and maybe the way that your brain communicates with one another, like having challenges in different areas. And so we didn't know that pre, like, 10, 15 years ago. And now, especially in the past, like, 10 years, the tech has evolved so much to where these devices can predict Alzheimer's and dementia up to, like, 30 years ahead of time. Like, they can predict, like, if it wasn't a physical concussion, if you did any brain damage through chemical, drugs, or alcohol when you were younger, or also emotional damage to the brain. So got involved in a toxic relationship, had a bad business partnership, fail, you just grew up in a really rough environment, all those things can affect the brain. The brain doesn't fully develop for men until around 25 and women around 25 and men around 27. So us guys have a little bit slower brains, which I think most people know. But yeah, and that is quite often pre-25 is when most of us do the wilder adventures or sports or, you know, all the things. And post-25, most people kind of grow up and, you know, they don't do that so much. And so when you get a brain scan, you can look into the alpha, beta, theta, and delta activity and brain waves and how they're operating. You can see the actual brain reaction voltage. You can measure your physical reaction time. You can measure your brain's reaction time. You can measure even your heartbeat and your HRV connected to how your brain is functioning. You get to see how the coherence connections in different areas of the brain. You get to see if the front part is communicating to the back part or where there's gaps in that communication. And very much like, you know, if you want to increase your health, you need to, your physical health, you need to focus on your diet and do some exercise, right? And it works even better if you know what diet to use, if you know what diet works for you, and if you know what exercise really is good to optimize your body and in what most muscles to work out. If you want to get bigger, if you want to work on cardio, if you want to do martial arts or sports or whatever it may be, lose weight. And so this is what you can do with brain scans now. You can look inside a person's brain. You can say, oh, there's lack of functioning here. There's fully functioning, optimized functioning here. And then a proper neurologist or neuroscientist can tell you the activities that can help you re-optimize and heal the areas of the brain. Mm-hmm. May it be supplements or meditation or exercise during a certain amount of time of day, but in whatever you need. But with the brain scans too, they can also, it's also, when you do a brain scan, it's very similar to taking a really good personality test. So if you had a brain scan For example, when I got my first brain scan, the doctor's like, Chris, I can tell you're more of an emotional guy. You wear your heart on your sleeve, but you also work hard and you're obsessed with your work and you have a hard time taking time off. And this is all from a brain scan, right? This is not like him knowing anything about me.
Yeah.
And it really is the engine of our bodies in our lives. And if we're getting good results, it's from good or great brain activity. And if we're getting below average or bad results, it's from below average or bad brain activity.
Wow. So much there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to learn it and unpack. And I guess I'm just unaware of so much of this, and especially about the healing part and like gaps can be identified and then addressed. And I think that's where it was kind of, perusing your site and like, I don't know what this would do. I don't know what this would do for me. How do I take some data like this and put action behind it?
Yeah.
So really, just really amazing to see, some of this. It's cool to think, again, thinking about the 100 years, 500 years out, how much more we're going to know, I assume, about what's happening in our bodies and in our brains,
right?
From blood work, from brain scans, all these things like this that are, I feel like we're at the cutting edge in some ways of these things becoming more consumer, having more consumer access to them.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll continue to move in that direction, which will make for a more healthy and prosperous lives for everyone, which I think we will.
And it's exciting to see. And especially like the tech development over the past 5-10 years, like like an iPad, was that even a household item 5 years ago? Like, I don't even know. Right. And now so many people have iPad, right?
Everyone. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And so I think it'll come to the point where it'll be, they suggest getting a yearly checkup with your doctor. I would imagine everybody should probably, and it's starting now, it's better than later, but it'll be the norm to get yearly brain scans and yearly blood work for sure. Maybe every 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I just had some blood work myself for the first time, Inside Tracker, and had all kinds of new things that I had no idea that were going on, and, supplements and different directions to pursue to help kind of fill those gaps. And so now you've got me thinking about my brain and maybe need to schedule that one out next. I love it. Well, just as we move towards wrapping up here, one thing I always like to hear guests articulate in some way is if there was a message that you could send to everyone in the world. So I like to think of this as like, if we could put a billboard on the moon that everyone could read out their window, what would it say? What would you put on that billboard?
Yeah, I would say you have your dreams for a reason. And it could almost be selfish of you not to go after those, because they're given to you not only to help yourself and make your dreams come true, but to inspire others as well.
That's so beautiful. I love it.
Thanks, man.
I'll sign my name on that one. Let's get that. I'll help fund that billboard on the moon. That's a message everyone needs to hear. So thank you.
We'll get one on Mars too, right?
Like, that sounds great.
Why limit ourselves, Dan? We'll get one moon and Mars.
So that way, when Elon Musk lands there, there'll be a billboard waiting for him.
You're like, what's up, Elon? You took too long, bro.
I love it. Well, folks, listening, if they want to connect with you, follow up, follow along with what you're up to, is there anything specific you'd like to invite them to?
Yeah, the best place is thebusinessmethod.com for our podcast and everything we do underneath that. So you can check out the show, learn about the entrepreneur community, learn about optimizing your brain, all the fun things.
Beautiful.
Well,
I'll make sure to link up to that in the show notes for everybody. And thank you so much for just a fun conversation. It's great having you on the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me. And it's been great. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you so much, Chris, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You can find links to Chris's work at themeaningmovement.com/Chris. While you're there, jump on the email list so you can get things like the guide to mentors that I mentioned at the top of the show and all kinds of other great stuff for free in your inbox. Hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. We release episodes about every other week. I also just ask once again, if you have not left a rating and review, please do so on iTunes, Apple, or in Amazon are the most helpful places, but anywhere that you can put a review and a rating, those go just such a long way to helping people like you find the show, for the show to show up in search results and all those kinds of things. Please take a moment and do me a favor, and I will love you forever. Our music is by Tom Rorem. Our artwork is by Eliezer Ruiz. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much.